This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Rana, this is what people need to know about the profession. It is fly by the seat of your pants.
Explain it to them, because I know I'm inside. I'm in the eye of the hurricane.
Okay, I know, Rana. I know. And I
this
was...
This is broadcast news, as far as I'm concerned.
I was the opposite.
Sliding on my knees to bring the tape.
That's you were Joan Cusack in broadcast news.
Exactly. That's exactly who
that
I am.
That is such a great scene. She's so phenomenal in
amazing.
That.
Amazing Joan Cusack. The real genius in that family, Joan.
Absolutely. Listen, Everyone do yourselves a favor, and this is homework. Just YouTube the Joan Cusack scene, newsroom scene in broadcast news, and you will literally LOL.
Incredible. The timing of that. Oh, but anyway, you were going to say, you were talking about the profession, which a lot of people don't know too much about because they're
this profession,
show business.
It's very fly by the seat of your pants. You know, I mean, we book people and then there's a snowstorm. We book people and then they end up having to cancel last minute. And then Adam O'Byrne has to find a new guest and we're biting our nails and we don't know how it's going to end. And Ron is keeping her cool, but I know she's a little tense and my foot is not off by that point. But we have a guest we didn't anticipate having this week. We had scheduled them for another week, but now they're this week.
What are you telling everyone all of this for?
Rana, because I need to share my experience with people about stress and about self-care. Like, I really tried to ignore anything that was happening and really just breathe and not answer my phone during all this craziness.
Which everyone appreciated.
Thank you. Well, you know, happy
As
Brian.
We were trying to schedule, everyone really appreciated that you decided to take a step back.
Well, I just had to really calm my nerves over this one. People don't understand. I don't have anything to do with the booking of the guests, but I am allowed to react.
I think they do understand.
Do they?
But you are allowed to react. It's true.
Yeah. And so I reacted very nervously, although I'm so excited to talk
to. We have a fabulous guest today.
Honestly, his podcast sounds so entertaining. And he also had someone A-list and also someone
crazy.
Iconic.
We're going
to
ask him all about it. Emma Thompson on his podcast.
I cannot even.
I didn't even know if that was a legitimate possibility in the universe. And pardon me, she came to him. So we're going to talk to him about that when he comes on.
I have a statement on the Brits. I'm going to tell you something.
Oh.
I do think there's something about these iconic British actresses specifically that seem like they love a joke. And they, like, when you think of like Helen Mirren, Judi Dench, all these women love to be a little bit naughty on the off camera.
They just want to have a good time.
And Emma Thompson seems like, I mean, I know she's a bit younger, but she seems like the same sort of idea of that.
Oh, yeah. What we would call a broad, and they would probably call a dame.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Emma Thompson a dame? I guess we'll ask him.
She is a dame. I don't know whether she's renounced it, but she is a dame. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But we'll ask Bridger when he gets here.
Yes.
We'll ask Bridger of Madison County when
he gets
Bridger
here. The Bridger of Madison County. Honestly.
I want to ask if he's a big Bridgerton fan. That's what I'm excited to ask him about.
Yes.
Because if there was you called Ronaton, I'd have to watch it.
Of course. And if he's auditioned, I hope he would go, "Hi, this is Bridger for Bridgerton."
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm 5'2" and
And I only do full frontal.
And I'm based in Provo, Utah, or wherever we're gonna
Correct.
Find out.
Correct.
I have to tell you, it's been a week for me because after the mischief maker we had on last week.
Oh my gosh, Rana.
Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
I have been bombarded with, you know, people have to stop bombarding.
What are they bombarding you with this week?
All people want to talk about is plant-based BDSM. That's what they want to talk about.
What are they saying, Ron?
Stopping me at Shoebies. Stopping me here and there. Oh, just curious. And, you know, do your own Googles. or talk to Margaret. It's got nothing to do with May.
That we just brought it up.
But it makes me wonder about the content of the show, whether we should be screening the content of the show more.
Absolutely not, Ronna. This is, listen.
See, this is the problem. The show has become really Brian content, not Ronna content, I think.
You know what, Ronna? It's about time. I'll say that. I'm tired of talking about the little Italian village with one rock. I don't want to do it anymore.
I don't blame you, to be honest.
I'm kidding. I actually am so excited to check out that series for real.
I have a very, well, you better hurry up because you know things like to leave Criterion.
They leave so fast on there.
It makes me so anxious the way things come and go on Criterion.
Me
so quickly.
Too. Well, by the way, this is a good time to
announce
our quiff, right?
Oh, sure.
Or will that be over? I get
It'll
so confused, Ronna. Okay, this is a good time to announce our book.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brian-centric,
yeah,
this quiff we're reading, A Children's Bible by Lydia Millay.
Well, first of all, it's the Carriage House Book Club. It's not quiff. We're not reading it for quiff.
No, I know, but I mean, technically, I visualize everything that's in the book.
Yes, oh, okay. That's true. You did let us know that you acted out the last scene in Hamnet.
I did act out the last scene in Hamlet.
So
I did
it is
my
a
arm
visual
raise.
Experience. Yeah.
The one between the character Hamlet and Shakespeare playing the ghost.
What a book, I have to say. Oh, I thought you were acting out her in the audience.
I was. But she puts her hand out kind of between
having their moment. She reaches to join the moment.
She reaches out. Yes, yes. Exactly. Yes. That's
to,
what
to
I acted.
To touch the ghost of her son.
Exactly. That's what
for
I did.
For just to feel his corporeal being for just one moment more.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have a heartbreak just thinking about it. I almost read that book over again.
It's so good.
That book stuck with me so much, I almost thought about reading it again.
It's so good. God,
So that was Hamnet by Margaret or Maggie O'Farrell.
By Mitch O'Connell.
By Mitch Albom.
Right.
Who also wrote Friday Night Lights. Which we read last month. This month, last month.
Yes.
It was our last book.
But now we're reading A Children's Bible by Lydia Millet. Millay. It sounds very dark, but fun. And I think it's sort of like a Lord of the Flies style thing, except it's a bunch of rich people who... The parents rent this enormous palace for the summer and the kids do their own thing. And it gets, I think, pretty upsetting.
Well, this was your pick.
This is the
Brian Carriage House Book Club selection. So I'm looking forward to either loving it or hating it.
I encourage people to read this in public. And then when children come up and ask, oh, because it's a colorful cover, you read them the book. You read them the book in front of you and tell them.
Well,
that
they've
they
got to find
listen.
Out sometime.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of books, we're talking Patreon right now. So join us, patreon.com/AskRonna, if you want to join the Carriage House Book Club. But we are taking the book club to the free feed for the first time ever.
One week exactly after 420.
April 20th. That's exactly right. I know you. That's your calendar. You're always 420.
That's
then
right.
420 Pride, then Christmas.
That's
those
me.
Are your three. Those are your big benchmarks. For
yes.
Your tent poles events. Yep. So 1 week after 420, 427, Cynthia Dupree Sweeney, Carriage House sweetheart, Cynthia Dupree Sweeney.
That's so cute. She is.
Will be joining us to discuss her new book, Good Company, which comes out April 6th.
Yeah.
And so what we want to encourage people
already
to
getting
do,
fabulous reviews, Ronna.
Incredible. All over the place.
I mean,
she's been covered all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is no surprise because she wrote the fabulous Nest.
National bestseller. Yeah.
So what we want to encourage people to do is they can go, I prefer they do it. They can do it any way they want, but I prefer they do it this way. If they go to our link tree and they pre-order Cynthia's book, first of all, it helps support the show because we get about a penny from every sale. But that's a penny. It's a penny we didn't have. Excuse me.
I don't leave the pennies. I take the pennies.
That's correct. And we've got to keep the lights on in the Carriage House, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely do.
So if they go through the link tree on Instagram, or they go to a page on Bookshop, which supports local bookstores, or if they want to go to the Ask Rana shop on Amazon, if they're Amazon people, they can do that. But order the book through us.
Yes.
So we can keep, and also it helps us keep track of it because we sort of know how many people are joining us to read that way. If we know how many copies we sold, basically.
Exactly.
Which is important for us in case we ever want to expand our book club.
We've got to know how hot our presses are.
Are people paying attention? Are people interested in these kind of events that we're putting our heart and soul and blood into?
By the way, I'm already writing a memoir about my experience on this show.
I can't wait not to read it.
Yeah, don't you love reading people's memoirs, Rana?
Well, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe for April, I'm going to read a memoir.
Yeah, it's more of a diary of how I felt right after we recorded, and then another section of how I felt the next day.
I see. And did you hire a ghostwriter, or are you doing it yourself?
I'm talking to someone who should remain
ghosty.
Yeah, it was someone who had contributed once or twice on Gawker, and he was a freelance at HuffPo. So yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They've got the credentials.
Yeah, I think so.
So in any event, pre-order the book. My understanding, Brian, when you pre-order, is the book arrives on the day the book comes out.
Like a gift you forgot you ordered.
Yeah. So the book comes out April 6th. You'll receive the book April 6th, I believe.
Or correct.
Right there, April 6th.
Right around
April
there, 7th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is what's so fun about a pre-order, because you order it, you forget, and then it arrives the day the book comes out.
Exactly.
We want
and then you're like, oh my God,
it.
I forgot I ordered a book.
And then a paperweight. And then we want people to send us, if they have questions or comments about the book that they're hoping that we'll discuss with the author, she will be here with us on the 27th. So they should try and get those to us about around, I don't know, the 20th or something, just because I'm not sure, around 420. Because
yes.
I'm not positive what day we're meeting with her. And 420, we're going to blow our brains out with marijuana anyway. Yes. So we won't be able to. We'll have to record before 420.
Rana.
Yeah.
Is it legal in Massachusetts? I actually don't smoke weed that often. Is it legal or take it or eat it?
Yes. Medical marijuana is legal in Massachusetts.
Oh, so you need a prescription for it?
Yeah. But you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you'll write one.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we can get you Blue Breeze.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rana, did people ever think you, like, would people ever go to you to get prescriptions written? Like, would they be like, Rana, can you ask Bob to write me a prescription for blank?
That's an interesting question. There was a woman at the tennis club.
Really?
Who used to try to make her rounds a little bit. She used to try to get all the doctors to write her a little prescription.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember she was trying very hard to play tennis, to play doubles with me. But that was never going to happen because I was really a hot pairing. I mean, people always wanted to play doubles with me.
I bet.
I'm an absolute animal at the net.
I was going to say, are you good at the net? I'm not
and
actually good at
I'm
the net.
I'm incredible at the net. Of course you're not. You drop the racket and run in the other direction.
I don't enjoy it at the net.
It's coming right at me.
Exactly. Yeah. Just holding it with two hands
in front
of my face.
The secret to the net is you have to attack.
Yeah.
But don't put too much on it. Let the, let the ball, use the motion of the ball against
itself.
Correct.
Everything gets
really about direction.
Yes.
And I have an incredible backhand. I'll say that. I always did. Always did.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I'd love to see it sometime, Rana.
Maybe we'll play now that the snow.
Are you kidding?
I
would
melt.
Be so scared to play with you, Rana.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah.
I'd aim for your feet every time.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
With people that are scaredy cats like you, you are.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Didn't someone just get shot in the feet?
Yes, it was Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, that's right. She did.
Yes. Yeah.
She did. By she did.
Not Trey Songz, but someone like that. A name like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And she wasn't going to stay quiet about it. God bless
her. And the people wanted her to, but.
No, she was too.
That's
he
why
was
I love her.
He's a Canadian rapper. She's a big star. Why should she keep quiet?
Yeah, she's great. And if you haven't seen another YouTube, if you haven't seen her SNL performance of Savage, it's so good. You should YouTube it.
And if you haven't seen Rana and Brian watching WAP, go to youtube.com/askrana.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can do there. And by the way, we are so close to Rana eating ramen, everybody. We're so close to
I don't think we're very close. I'm not very close to eating raw ramen.
We're closing in. But the Instagram numbers have been ticking up, Rana.
We got to get to 2,600 on Patreon and 10,000 on Instagram. So,
and then you will see Rana eat raw ramen.
Getting the feeling people don't care whether I eat it or not. And that's fine with me because I don't care either.
Rana, I got another, like maybe two DMs this week about how people eat raw ramen themselves and the way they do it. And I said, don't ever let Rana know you sent this because she has had it up to here.
We get it. We get it. Yeah, I get it.
But you know what? It's very reassuring to get in my inbox every day something that starts with, you're not crazy.
You are not alone.
That's right. Yeah.
Why don't you read a couple of reviews and then we're going to bring on our fabulous guest.
Okay, great. Let's do it. Okay. Very kind reviews, Rana. 5 stars only per use. Everyone really knocks it out of the park when it comes to this stuff. I got to tell you.
With the review, we have wonderful fans who write wonderful reviews. I have correct. To say, when they write a review, they go for it.
Correct.
They're paying attention.
River, who Phoenix. Lists their pronouns, they, them, says, okay. Do yourself a favor and get into this podcast. Rana's like a fabulously cool aunt giving you tips and advice that are way out of your league. Excuse me. I'll never be as elegant and sagely as she. But listening to the podcast makes me feel like I'm trying her lotion or using the perfect cutting remark that she taught me. Ask Rana elevates my experience. 5 stars only.
Fabulous.
And then,
is it sagely or sagacious? I think it's sagacious.
He said sagely. I think it's elegant and sagacious. Yeah.
They said. I understand what they. Yes. Wait, what were the pronouns?
They, them. Yep.
Oh, they, them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said. But anyway, correct. I'm just issuing a spontaneous correction.
Someone else says, saved me in the Texas storm. When my husband and I lost power and internet for 3 days in the Texas winter storm, we had nothing to do in the evenings to keep us entertained. However, one night we cuddled in our blankets, sat by the fire, and listened to this podcast. I really hope you didn't waste your battery on that, but maybe they had a backup. And listened to this podcast like we were in the 1920s listening to a radio show.
Oh, so cute.
I love that. It was absolutely lovely. As always, they kept us absolutely entertained and distracted from the perils of real life. Very nice.
That I love a timely and geographically appropriate review.
I know you do, Rana.
Yeah.
An unrivaled
pair. And I'm happy
pair.
All those people that power's back on just in time for the governor to let them all go back out and get coronavirus from each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is this guy?
Greg Abbott.
Yeah, where'd he come from?
Well, do you want to know the absolute worst, not the worst, but one of the worst things about him?
Definitely.
He was lieutenant governor for a long time.
Okay.
So he is, he has no feeling or anything. He's in a wheelchair. He has no feeling or anything in his legs. He's paralyzed from the waist down.
How did it happen? Was he on a riverboat?
I can't know. He was, a tree of his next door neighbors was struck by lightning and the tree fell on him. Yeah, it fell over on his property on him and he sued them. But yeah, and then there was a bill before the state legislature.
Don't tell me.
Yes, that was for more accessible ramps for people at
government
places. Like an
ADA bill, yeah.
And he was the most vocal opponent of it.
Yeah.
Talk about some self-hatred.
I get it. Yeah.
That's
the only one. Yeah, he's the only one.
Correct. So that's
I got so steamed today. I read... It steamed me and it made me laugh at the same time. Rush Limbaugh was buried. And his wife said he was.
I wish it had been alive. I'm not going to lie.
And his wife said he was one step from a president. She said it was just like he was married. He was buried at Arlington because they put a flag on his coffin. It was just like he was buried at Arlington Cemetery. He was really one step from a president.
So and these people actually were crazy.
I just thought, where did he find her? And then she talked about
She's
how their first day he was so kind and such a great listener and so funny. Yeah, she's a true believer for sure. She said, "Don't worry, she's going to keep the movement going," but. For her to say that he was one step from a president,
I mean he was about
absolutely.
He was not even one step to being a president.
No, I mean not even. No, he was once one step from a president.
from a president.
Standing next to Trump. Yeah. That's where he was.
That's
one
about,
step
exactly.
from a president. Yeah.
Correct.
But in any event.
And we have one more very quick review that I really want to get in because I think it's an important one.
Okay.
Onzaton calls us an unrivaled pair.
Onzaton?
Onzaton.
Tonsaton?
Tonsaton.
Do you know what Tonsaton is?
I don't. Is it something with
the
tonsils?
It was a French clothing label in the 80s. Tonsaton.
Really?
Everybody wore the Tonsaton sweatsuits and the Tonsaton, you know, casual.
Did they have menswear and women'swear?
It was like a unisex, you know, colorful, like a Benetton, but more French. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Onzaton says we're an unrivaled pair. The advice sometimes catches me off guard because I'm often laughing to tears. Rana is a sage. There we go again.
Yeah.
Rana is a sage and
code name,
I just want to make
code
sure.
word old. Old Bones
Not
Glickman.
Wise, Rana. Brilliant.
Old Bones Glickman. Yeah.
They mean brilliant. Rana is a sage. And this part, I don't know if the handwriting's small. I'll have to read it kind of slowly. And yes, you too will have a crush on Brian. Wow. Huh.
You too will have a crush on Brian?
Mm-hmm. Like T-O-O.
Mm.
Yeah.
You too will get a free microwave oven with your purchase of a, like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
Yeah, of a timeshare.
Correct.
You too will have a crush on Brian.
Correct. This person's into mind control probably.
Yeah. CIA. They work with goats and dolphins.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Rana, should we get to our surprise guest that really isn't a surprise because we were having them on anyway at some point?
Yeah. Let's have a fabulous guest.
Bridger of Madison County.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Now, wait a minute, Brian.
Rana.
When I tell you we have the hottest show on Netflix as our guest today.
When
Bridgerton's here today. Yeah.
And by the way, a classic film that got Meryl Streep an Oscar nomination. We also have The Bridger of Madison County here, which I think is... so exciting. I'm dying to... We're going to talk all about the bridges of Madison County in just a second. But this guy is like hot stuff, Ron.
This podcast, people are crazy about this show.
Yeah. I said no gifts.
That's exactly what the show is, Pat.
Yeah.
Which means you better bring a good one. Is what
That's
it
right.
Means. Ladies and germs. What was the last time we said that? Maybe never.
Rana, I think the last time I heard it was, I think, Jackie Mason, when we were out at the Catskills.
You and Jackie were we together.
We and Jackie were backstage after a show, and it got, we were sharing a corn on the cob, and it got hot.
I think I last heard it on the Muppet Show, probably.
Or maybe on the Muppet Show.
Without further ado,
yes.
Bridger Weiniger.
Oh, you too. It's so nice to see you.
Bridger, hi, Bridger.
How are you, dear?
I'm doing okay. It's raining in Los Angeles, or it did rain. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of looking at the sky recently, just wondering
what it's all about.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Are you married?
I'm in a long-term relationship.
Okay.
My boyfriend and I, we've been together for 6 years. So I don't know. How do you classify that at this point?
That's fair. Okay. We don't have to go into it. I just wanted also to know where are you from?
I'm from Utah, like right outside of Salt Lake City.
Are you going to tell his fortune in a second?
No, Rana.
I'm
only asking four questions.
I just wanted to know.
And then we're going to reveal your card at the end of this.
I just wanted to know what Bridger status was in case I, you know, ran into him on Grindr or something like that.
I just wanted to
know.
Well, you're in Marblehead and he's in Los Angeles. So how is that going to happen?
You know what? That's a great point. I really just wanted to know his status, Rana.
Wow, this is starting out aggressive.
Those were fair questions. Those were
they?
Absolutely fair questions.
Were
I've been
they?
Asked those things in job interviews.
Did you meet your guy in Ohio? In Utah?
In Utah.
You know what?
No, we met in LA.
Oh.
You better go take a break and come back.
How dare you, Rana? How dare you? I'm asking normal interview questions.
Maybe they may not be normal for the guests that we have, but they're perfectly normal questions, period.
Right.
Yeah. Are you Mormon?
Former Mormon.
Okay.
Now, were you raised Mormon? I did want to know that.
Raised Mormon. But you know, when you come out and you're dating someone of the same sex, that's no longer an option.
So true. You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to. It's entirely up to you.
But we'll talk about whatever.
But I am fascinated because, of course, I've been watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not Mormon 2.0, as they like to say. Did you get
the
a
Mormon
formal
2.0 thing?
Not a thing. Yeah, not a thing.
Not a thing. Yeah.
Because isn't it just the same rules, but you wear like heels?
Well, Mormon 2.0, I think she drinks.
Oh, you're right. She does drink. Yes.
I don't know what other things she does.
Is that
she
a
feeds
thing?
Her kids Del Taco.
Are you allowed to? You're not really allowed to drink, and you're not allowed to have caffeine. No. Is that right?
You're not allowed to have coffee.
Why coffee?
This is a debate among Mormons even. A lot of Mormons won't drink any caffeine. They won't drink a Coke. They won't drink tea.
Well, not Lisa. She'll drink 40 ounces of Diet Coke.
Right. That's what most Mormons do. They get that 64-ounce big gulp and
oh, so
fill it with
big gulps are a thing?
Oh, yeah. But
I thought that was just her.
This what about like iced tea?
No. Most Mormons don't drink tea.
Okay.
So they will go to 7-Eleven and just fill it up with a diet soda.
Wow.
And, you know, there's a whole industry in Utah of these like soda drive-thrus where people literally go to get like mixed sodas.
Like the kind with the machine where you're
like
a
in
dab
New
of
Orleans.
This, a dab of that.
Where you get a margarita, a bank of margaritas.
Except for this is like Dr. Pepper with like flavored syrup put into it. Which is just...
Wow. So it's like a Starbucks, but for soda.
Right. Totally. And they also serve sugar cookies at these places. It's not...
Are the cookies
very dangerous
good?
Thing for your health.
Rana, we're going to have to go to Utah.
I want to try those cookies.
I want a cookie and a soda. I want a Dr. Pepper with a little bit of orange with a little bit of vanilla.
But it is very... a little creamsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a creamsicle Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me because Lisa, who's not my favorite on the show.
No.
And who also really shouldn't be drinking that much Diet Coke. She's already has the most anxious energy. She's one of those people who talk. She just talks all the time. Mm-hmm. But she had a business meeting, Brian.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume Bridges caught up on this.
Of course.
And because how couldn't you be? Yeah.
I want everyone to know right now that I'm very familiar with the business setting and I'm very professional in business meetings.
That's all you need to know.
I'm putting that out there in case anyone
wants. Then you'll appreciate this even more.
Okay, great.
Which is that she had a business meeting, which was already a questionable enterprise to begin with, where they were going to be discussing the... grooming products that her sons, who are 15 and eight, had of course come up with all by themselves. Because
aren't kids geniuses? They
what
really
disgusting, stinky teenage boy or 8-year-old, you know, puddle jumper doesn't. What's the first thing he thinks of is we need to come up with a pomade so that the family can spend more time together.
Oh, brilliant. And they're really so brilliant, those children.
Yes. So they're incredible. So
all children.
To the meeting. They have a meeting. And we expect Lisa to drink a big gulp. The husband brought four big gulps to the meeting. And I thought, in the history of the world, this has never happened before, that somebody brought big gulps. But now now I know it's a Utah thing.
Oh, it's absolutely a Utah thing.
Did you grow up in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, just outside of it.
Oh, wow. God, so beautiful. It really is so beautiful.
Did you go on a mission?
Parts of it.
Yeah.
I went on a mission for four months.
Someone got caught in the back of the farm or something.
Oh, I wish.
Where was your mission to?
To Singapore and Malaysia.
Wow. Did you enjoy any part of that? Or was it not really.
I wish I could have.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
The food is so good.
Incredible. Yeah.
But when you're on a bike for 8 hours a day in 4,000% humidity,
right.
Selling something you're not convinced of, nobody living wants with someone that you hate.
Yeah.
It puts a little bit of a damper on the fun.
Right. And you have I would love to go back on vacation.
Yeah.
So did you end it? Or did they kick it?
I ended it.
You said, I'm dumb. I'm not doing this.
I essentially had a nervous breakdown.
Well, who could blame me?
Literally had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so was it a process of like, coming out of that? In other words, were they really encouraging you to stay, or was it just sort of like, this is my decision, smell you later?
It was kind of a, you can stay, but essentially we're going to have to get you therapy.
Yeah.
Or right. You can go home and then maybe go on another mission somewhere in the United States.
Take and a I break decided, and we'll send you to Kansas.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And I chose the third option of just not going back.
Got
and
it.
And then slowly backing away from the religion.
But you knew, you had another way you wanted to live your life anyway. So you were sort of, that was maybe the beginning of confronting that.
Yeah.
In a public way.
Yeah. I think my brain kind of overrode my control and was just like, we're just going to sabotage this thing in order to begin the decade-long path to what you actually want to do.
And how was your family through that? Which is, we can cut that. It's a very personal question. So.
We can. Okay. I don't care.
We can cut any of this. It's just fascinating. So
we're just curious.
20 minutes. We'll just start the podcast.
Well,
we
don't usually talk to our guests this
no
much.
No one's ever interesting. Yeah.
Well, oh, really? Do you miss doing stand-up, Bridget? Do you want to hear that question instead?
Well, the Zoom shows
have been
different.
What's it like not to be
able
to do shows? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my family, to their credit, has always been very supportive. Even when I came out to them a few years ago, they were extremely supportive almost right off the bat. So
that's lovely.
And I've seen other Mormon families not be supportive like that. So
Heather's very upset because not everyone has supported her divorce.
Oh, Heather's, she's got a real chip on her shoulder.
Did you watch the reunion?
I watched all three episodes.
Yeah. I have to say.
It was a three-parter. That means it was a good season.
And it was Lord of the Rings length.
It was much more interesting because the season itself, they sort of said, let's give it a little money and whatever we get. And I think they shot
weeks. I will say, like, on these shows, even if I don't watch the season, sometimes the reunions, for me, it just feels like a best of compilation and I love them. So I will watch these reunions.
Well, these reunions were a lot of fun. And because also nobody's quite polished enough yet. Even though Meredith thinks she's polished, none of them know how to deal with, they don't have the instinct sharpened yet for when the conversation pivots to you.
Right.
They all think they know how they're going to react when it's that time, but they haven't had the trial by fire yet.
Is
like
Meredith
the
one who wore
women.
The mask?
Correct.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And Meredith is funny because she thinks she's polished in a way that like during the reunion, they're like, can we talk about your relationship? And she just flat out said no. And it's like, well, that's why you're on this show.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just choose not to participate in this show that you're a star of.
And by the way, that has such a precedent. It's not like you didn't know what the show was going to be.
Right.
You know?
But I have to say, Heather was one of my favorites throughout the season because Heather's very genuine. She has nice daughters and she's trying very hard to raise them sort of more mainstream or split the difference between these things. And the husband is a robot. I need to understand.
A scarecrow.
Is that a type?
I don't know what is happening with her husband.
Have you ever met men like that? He seems so shell-shocked. But I think also in fairness to him, he has no interest in being on camera, and that's terrifying for him. So I think he can't get past that, really.
I feel like the show and Heather spoke of him in a way building up to his reveal that I was like, this guy's rich. He's a billionaire,
a
Mormon
playboy.
Royalty or whatever.
Yeah.
I was expecting someone kind of dashing and interesting. No. And this scarecrow stumbles into her house and like can barely talk.
He can't. No, he's
something's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you guys watch the game?
The game? This
was
TV
there a
show?
Game? No. I was just wondering if you'd seen the game.
Okay. All right. Well, get off something that Brian doesn't know anything about. But the last thing I wanted to say was that Heather, I think Heather is starting to drink her own Kool-Aid, read her own press a little bit.
Right.
And there was some genuinely, and this will be fun to watch on the reunion if you watch it, Brian, but there were just some genuinely strange, unkind, narcissistic moments where people, and everybody's crazy and they're all terrible and whatever, but where people are talking about something completely different from how you've decided to take it because you only are interested in your own narrative. So co-opting when Whitney's husband is almost in tears saying he got a letter from the church that he was excommunicated. Which right. I don't know whether you got a letter or you didn't get a letter, but...
I got a letter.
You did get a letter.
Unreal. Well, yeah.
Which is amazing that they take the time to send a letter.
When was the last time you got a letter?
I know. What an old-fashioned
but who's
thing
in
to
charge
do.
Of, so but thoughtful. Who's in charge of keeping track of it? And also, does someone in your family have to snitch on you in order to get a letter?
Yes. I think somebody... I mean, it's a case-by-case thing. And it's a weird, like... Some people, I think they like ask you to come in for like basically a church court hearing or something.
Yeah.
Which is like a little bit like, I guess if you care, you go do it. But otherwise it's like, well, I don't want to be part of this club anyway. I'm not showing up for you to tell me I can't be part of it. It feels wild.
Yes. Right. I already know what's going to happen. Why am I coming to this? Right. Why would I show up to this?
Like showing up to work and after they told you you're fired.
Yeah.
Exactly. So is that how you kind of relate to like Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan when they miss their court dates?
Yes.
Like that's why you feel the strong bond with them?
100%.
Okay, I figured.
All right, Bridger and I'll do another. I'll cut all that stuff about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Why?
And Bridger and I'll have an offline conversation.
I don't want you
it's
to cut it. I enjoyed
fun
it.
For Brian.
Brian, no. I need you to catch up. We all this is the
you know
like
what
the
I'm not
going to
hear anymore about
series.
That, Bridger. I got to tell you because you and I started out on the wrong foot. I was asking easy questions.
You were asking
and all of a sudden,
intimate questions. Intimate
you know what,
questions.
Rana? I'm an intimate person. I give and I receive love, and I wanted to know if he did.
All right, this is not, as I say, this is not what the show is, okay?
No, it isn't.
This actually has nothing to, none of this has anything to do with what the show is.
And by the way, Rhonda, we said we were going to talk about Emma Thompson, and now we don't have time.
We did. What on earth, Bridger?
Give us an impression. I mean, that's amazing.
Oh, God bless Emma Thompson. I mean,
first of all, what a fun episode. But also, she just... randomly started listening to your show and then
she
contacted
wrote you,
you
or something?
Yeah, she and her daughter Gaia are two of the best people I know at this point.
And is her daughter her assistant? She seems very involved in keeping the wheels turning.
I think as far as getting the computer and the Zoom going, her daughter was on top.
Technical assistant.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had just been listening to the podcast and they had listened to this episode with my friend Janelle James, who's a very funny comedian.
Yep.
And they reached out to both of us and just to let us know they had been listening. And I took a shot. It's like, they actually put it out there. Like, if you'd ever be interested in having Emma on the show, it's like, what are we talking about? Of course.
Unbelievable.
And then she's lovely. I think she's like maybe one of five people that just universally we all can agree on.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's great. She's a great actor.
Yeah. Who says I can't stand Emma Thompson? Who says that?
Right.
Yeah. Nobody. Yeah.
And she seems like a lot of fun. She really does. Yeah.
Right.
Just like a blast.
Oh, she was it was a great episode. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
really
phenomenal.
Fun. Again, this is not what the show is about.
No, it isn't. So, and now it's all my fault, Rana.
Now, on this show, people write in. We give them advice. Okay. They take the risk. They write in. They want our opinions.
They're desperate.
Are we doctors? Are we psychologists? Are we... Oh wait, if Brian hits the buzzer, that's a no.
Yeah.
That's the universal no. Are we marriage and licensed marriage and family therapists? We're not even that. We're not even yoga instructors. Okay.
No, we're not.
We're just people that have opinions who happen to be right most of the time.
Yeah.
So they write in at their own peril. We go through the questions and we just answer however we feel. That's all you have to do.
That's all you can do. And Bridger's got plenty of life experience to enter this room.
Yeah, and if the angel Moroni enters into this, you know, that's between you and him. That's not got nothing to do with me. Okay, shall we read the first question here?
We shall. Would you like me to, Ron, or would you like
to? I think I would like you to read it.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I love it. I love that. Dearest Rana, Brian, and illustrious guest, Bridger. I am writing for advice on how to approach a delicate situation with a friend. I trust your sage advice. Now, there's been a lot of that today,
that's
Rana.
That's been rolling around a lot today. I'm going to have to do a sage carriage house candle.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. Say, before you came on, Bridger, all we were reading some reviews where everyone called Rana sage, sage, sage.
Sage, over sage, and over again. Sage, which is code for old. Just
no,
so
it
you
isn't.
Know,
it's code for brilliant.
And Brian has already been calling me old bones behind my back, so I didn't feel great about it. Old Bones Glickman. That's how he's been referring to me. Yeah.
I trust
you. He calls
sage.
To my cleaning lady. She said to me, she's from Ukraine. She said to me, what is old bone? I said,
what
is old bone? Mr. Safi always saying, old bone, tell me, put this away. Old bone, tell me, put that away. And
can
I
tell you something about Yadvina?
Yeah.
I've already told you, but I'll tell Bridger in case he wants to know what's going on with her.
I do.
When Navalny, was that his name?
Navalny. Yeah.
The Russian opposition was thrown in jail. She threw a party. She was so excited that Putin reigned supreme. So you tell me.
Yeah. She loves a strong man. She does.
This
like
tells
strong
me, yeah, she knows a guy that knows what she likes, a guy that knows what he likes.
Yeah.
And also, she gave me early goods on Russian Sputnik vaccine, but Rana wouldn't take it.
She's attracted to power. What can I say?
Yes. Yeah. Who isn't?
She likes to be at the center of it.
Which is why she's been so loyal to Rana for so long.
Well, you know, Putin and I have a couple of things in common. We both know how we want things run. I'll just
you
say
both
that.
Like to ride a horse topless.
Sure. Yeah, that's
we have
right.
both found 25,000-year-old Etruscan pottery
four feet
from the shore, no, in a non-Etruscan civilization. So,
unbelievable.
Know. Yeah.
The power. Okay.
And we both play ice hockey.
I am writing for advice on how to approach a delicate situation with a friend. I trust your sage advice and wisdom. I'm not sure who else to turn with this. So who better than my favorite fabulous duo?
That's my favorite. When people say, I'm not sure where else to turn. Right. And I can't wait to hear this question because it definitely won't be us. It'll definitely be that there's a lot of services that you should turn to that people can help you with this problem. But let's say, maybe it's so exclusively us. Yeah.
And Rana, then she assures us in parentheses, there's more accolades at the end of the letter.
Oh,
for
thank
us,
God. Well, thank goodness, because it was feeling a little perfunctory.
Worth reading. First, a little background about me. I'm a 21-year-old bisexual woman in college. Oh. I've lived in my sorority house for two. This is a young crowd.
We've
today.
Got a young
I've
listener lived here in my, on the line.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I've lived in my sorority house for 2 years and have generally built great relationships here. Our house isn't much like the typical sorority environment you may be imagining. I'm not the only queer member. The only thing that makes me feel othered in this community is my body type. I'm 6 feet tall and 230 pounds. I'm clearly the tallest and heaviest member of the house. I feel confident in my body for the most part. But that confidence is often tested as I feel lingering vestiges of my former eating disorder frequently.
Okay.
My question concerns a friend in my house. Othered. I'll call her Maria.
I'm stuck on othered, but I'm going to to get past it.
Get past it,
that's
Rana.
That's young speak. This has got to roll. Young speak,
Well, okay. I'll call her Maria.
Oh, you use othered. Do you feel othered?
I have used othered.
Do you feel othered in the carriage house, Brian? You should.
I do, actually. I feel very,
well, there's
very
only
othered.
Two of us. So you're the other and I'm the other one. So we're both othered.
Does your podcast have an HR department?
Oh, absolutely. I'm typing up the letter now.
Okay. I can't file a complaint on my
I'm
own show, but I bet
you
could file one. Thank you. I
of
appreciate
course.
It.
This is not a healthy situation.
I can't wait to send Brian his letter. Let him know he's been excommunicated from the carriage house. And then I
want to know you can't send the letter because then I'll be out.
I want to come in and tell him to his face so I can have the pleasure of watching his whole identity crumble in front of him. What is the point of that process? I find it to be totally sadist, I have to say.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadist or masochistic? Which is it?
Sadist.
I think it's sadist.
Yeah.
Well, a little masochist, but.
Yeah. Masochist is if you go in for the meeting. Sadist is perpetrating.
You're like, I
want to
feel this, this pain.
Yeah.
Right. Sadist is like, I'm going to hit you in the butt. And masochist is like, give me more.
Perfect encapsulation.
Back to the sorority house.
I do feel crazy today. I'm just going to say it. And so, Bridger, I do apologize for the beginning of the show.
I apologize for the whole show. Look, we haven't
I'm
even
fine
finished
with a good, you know, like a good Tiger Beat style interview where it's just like, what's your favorite color? I
the
love
back page.
Easy yeah, answers. Exactly. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite.
You
band.
Know how the last page of magazines, that's what they do. This is the last page of Tiger Beat.
Yes.
Exactly.
Tiger Beat always goes straight to Mormonism and excommunication. Yeah.
Okay. The problem is. Oh, wait. Okay. I'll call her Maria. Maria and I have become close friends since COVID hit, and we have a good group of about 10 mutual friends in our sorority. Okay. Maria's also recovering from an eating disorder. The difference between us is that Maria is much thinner than me and definitely within societally expected beauty standards. Not to invalidate her eating disorder in any way, it's just my observation. At a healthy weight, she weighs nearly 90 pounds less than me. My weight is purely genetic. We eat basically all the same food since it's provided in our house and exercise the same amount. The problem is Maria will frequently complain about feeling fat, having bad skin, or being pale. I have hormonal acne and impale myself. I don't know if she realizes the effect this has on me personally. I can't help but feel that looking like me would be her worst nightmare. When she expresses insecurity, she receives extensive validation from our friends. They often call her beautiful out of the blue now. My friends rarely do the same to me. I believe this is because I have a confident exterior and feel uncomfortable speaking negatively about my body to others. She gets frequent attention from men as well. She's straight. Nearly everywhere we go, she's remarking about how some hot guy in the building won't stop staring at her. Men here aren't quite buying what I'm selling, if you catch my drift.
I know the I know the feeling.
I think we all do. I don't want Maria.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't want Maria to feel like I am not there for her. I recognize that because of her eating disorder, thoughts of insecurity come frequently to her. I'm happy that she feels a sense of solidarity with me since I have struggled with similar things in the past. She often asks me to eat with her to make her feel more comfortable. My problem is that it's difficult for me to feel beautiful when I embody what she clearly hates about herself. This has had detrimental effects on my mental health. Plus, I'm around her all the time since we live in the same house and have all the same friends, so the constant "I'm so fat" gets grating. I feel if I tell her these comments bother me, she may become closed off and feel that I'm judging her disorder. I don't want to make her journey more difficult. I've opened up to her about feeling like my friends don't build me up the way I tried to build them up due to my confident exterior, but she brushed it off and her response was essentially, "That sounds hard." That makes me feel less confident that an honest conversation with her about this will yield the results I'm looking for. So my question is, do I say something to my friend or try to let these comments go? Is this my problem for letting what she says get to me, or are her comments legitimately offensive and something a friend shouldn't say? Are sorority girls generally too concerned about our appearances, and should I just calm down? Thank you for any advice you can offer. Your show has been such a beacon of light and humor for me as a longtime listener of Attitudes, discovering the dynamic of Mrs. Glickman and Brian was a true joy. Even though I'm broke, my Patreon Carriage House subscription is worth every penny. Excuse me. I'm saving for a Dash egg cooker.
They're $10.
Rana, this person wants a gift this week. That's what's happening.
Wow, somebody.
That's what's happening.
We've never had anybody lobby. So did she include her address at the bottom? We've never had anybody lobby so hard for the giveaway.
Assuming you've chosen my question, I'm truly honored. You once read my review on the show about Rana having all the best qualities of my favorite aunt, minus the drug abuse, and I listened to it about 1,000 times. I've since gotten my sister Caitlin and my mom hooked on the pod. Love you endlessly. Thanks again for everything, Megan. You can use
this is name. All the same letter.
Oh,
yes.
Bridget, I hope you have 2 hours. I do. If you have a hat out, you should
Iliad.
Let us know.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these letters are truly
an epistolary
epics.
Poem. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. We're reading Beowulf after this.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, wow.
Bridget.
Should I repeat the questions or does everyone feel confident?
You just should read that word for word again.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening the first time.
Sure.
If you could just refresh me with a full word for word reading.
I will read these again.
Let's get the questions.
Do I say something to my friend or try to let these comments go? Is this my problem for letting what she says get to me? Are her comments legitimately offensive and something a friend shouldn't say? Are sorority girls generally too concerned about our appearances? And should I just calm down? I mean, I think everyone is probably too concerned about their appearances.
Oh,
I can answer that one now.
You're in college 21.
Totally.
That's
and frankly, the stereotype of being in a sorority, yeah.
Yeah,
but
you're
anyone.
Around other women all the time, and you see each other in the shower and everything else. So of course, everybody is focused on their appearance, and everyone is trying to attract this one, that one, the other one. You're 21. Everyone's trying to get something going.
Yeah.
So right. That's the heightened space that you're living in terms of appearance. But I want to, Bridget, you don't have to address the questions individually. You can just address the letter if you want to.
I mean, I would like to just ask another question.
Oh, thank
As
goodness.
Someone who is not part of a fraternity or obviously a sorority, why are we still doing this? What is anyone getting out of it? It seems yeah. like they're both created to make everyone feel. What element of it is good?
Because my feeling is, if you have shared interests with somebody, why not just join that club? Why do you have to live with them?
Right.
Because it seems like you could still, or if, you know, befriend those people and those things. Like, for instance, I didn't want to live with, like, actors or improvisers in college. Like, that wasn't...
Not in a million
I enjoyed
years.
Those things, but I didn't need it 24/7.
Well,
built
I, because...
Built in
yeah.
social life. These
Built
people want
life.
To walk into a situation and have their college experience laid out for them.
It's called and kind of like the cruise version of a social life.
That's exactly
oh, brilliant.
Right.
Completely.
That's exactly, you hit it right on the head.
Oh.
There's an activity, lunch, breakfast is at 8:30. Lunch is at 12:30. Five right. things are happening. Then you have study hall. Then you have this. And they have a fantasy about what that cruise is going to be. And
right.
just like if you've ever been on a real cruise, it's never what you thought it was going to be.
It's just a lot more throwing up and diarrhea than you expected.
There's always a deck underbelly.
Right.
Correct. Correct. And the swimming with the dolphins really is underwhelming.
Right.
I've never done it, but I imagine.
Yeah, depending on how frisky the dolphin is, I suppose. But
right.
But again, it's not what you were hoping for. You thought the dolphin wanted to take you on a totally, you know, G-rated ride, ride around the pool, and he wants to pin you against a wall. So it's honestly, when you describe it that way, a college sorority fraternity experience is just like a cruise.
It is exactly a cruise. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, get off the cruise. I mean, let's just say this. What's her name? Megan Monica, the friend?
Megan.
Yeah.
Megan.
Oh, no. The writer's name is Megan.
Okay.
The friend she's calling
Maria.
Maria. Yeah.
Maria. Maria is, I'm just going to say it, fishing for compliments. The behavior described here goes beyond, you know, having something, mental health issues. This is someone who's just out there looking for compliments. Am I wrong? I don't know. I could be wrong.
I don't know that you're wrong. I do think she must have mental health issues I actually mean that lightly. First of all, she had an eating disorder. I don't know if she currently does or is just always working through it.
Yeah.
That's a mental issue. But also, she definitely has some sort of mental issue light in the fact that she needs that all the time. I don't
right.
know if she's a narcissist or if she truly, if her confidence is just in the gutter.
She's an attractive 21-year-old girl mm-hmm. who is trying to eke out her own place in this Lord of the Flies society that these girls have decided to yes. participate in.
Yeah. Because the most annoying thing to me is
Doesn't
that she comes
mentally.
Around and talks about how all these guys stare at her.
Right.
Like that to me is the thing that's like,
Forget
why?
Forget Maria. Okay.
Forget Maria.
My advice to the for the whole letter. To Megan
forget
is
Maria.
Forget Maria. Maria is not your friend. Maria, you told your friend you feel insecure when people about your, you confessed your insecurities to her. And she said, that sounds tough. That's as far as she wants. She does not care about you. I'm sorry to break.
Maria is never interested in building you up.
Not interested.
No.
Not interested.
You are there for Maria.
I don't
want to push this into a weird place, but I wonder if Megan has a little crush on Maria. Because I think that there is a lot of projection going on with Maria's behavior, about Maria's behavior. Why do you say Maria is the perfect type? You describe her as 90 pounds lighter than you and having better skin, and that you feel, your projection is that Maria must look at you and be repulsed.
by that you how don't you look. Know. Yeah, exactly.
That is your projection.
Correct.
Maria, honestly, I hate to break the news, isn't thinking that much about you. Maria is thinking about what, you know, skin care mask she's going to do tonight and what she's going to wear tomorrow. And she's interested in boys, and she's interested in being inside the Lord of the Flies hierarchy. She's interested in being one of the popular girls. She
being
wants
called
to
beautiful.
Be talked about. Mm-hmm. She wants to be thought of by boys. She wants to be at the center of things. And that is why she has started this little enterprise of hers where she says, oh God, I look terrible in this. And everyone has to say, you look amazing. Mm. Like what? That's her little cottage industry that she's got going here. And you, my dear, are feeding right into it. I want to support her in her eating. I want to support her in her this and that. I want to eat with her. She said she wants to eat with me because it makes her feel comfortable because she used to have an eating disorder and we can understand each other. Because
I don't think.
Had to eat when you have an eating disorder. Get, step out of Maria's problems because what's yes. going on is this is a totally, whether intentionally or not, a totally toxic relationship where everything about her, you have projected onto her that she looks at you and you are, and she is repulsed by what you are. But the inverse of that is that you look at her and you imagine her to be the ideal. And so every minute you spend around your idea of the ideal is a minute you feel bad about yourself. So what is the point of that? If self-esteem is your problem.
It is very difficult to be unsupportive in regards to someone's eating disorder. So it's not like you are trying to sabotage her or, in other words, like you can do that from a distance. Yeah. There's nothing.
Have you been dropping an Oreo cheesecake off at a door every night?
Exactly. It's very difficult to be unsupportive of someone's, by fucking with them is essentially what that would mean. You don't have to be there for her. You can still be supportive of her struggles, but you don't have to be there for her like that.
You are not close friends.
She
makes you feel bad.
You should not sit while she eats unless a court has appointed you.
Correct.
There is no reason to give me a break.
Yeah.
She is not interested in you having a hard time in this world. You are looking for a therapist, my dear. You need somebody to talk to about how you feel. And whether that is a campus person or someone that your family can help you find that they don't mind paying for, depending on whatever the health insurance situation is, et cetera, et cetera. But at college, there's a lot of people that you can go talk to that the university pays for it.
That's right. I got free counseling in college.
And you are looking to your friends to support you in that way. And you are looking to be that for her because it's something that you want. And no one is doing it for you.
I'd obviously get a therapist. I think Ron is right. There's a lot to unpack, as there is with everyone in college, frankly. Anyone who's a sensitive person, at least, like
totally.
It sounds you are.
Totally.
But I don't think I could live with someone like her if she was making me feel that way.
Oh, 24
difficult.
Hours a day?
No.
You need to have an escape from that person.
Yeah.
And to be fair, she's not making you feel that way. She's not coming after you to try and make you feel that way. But the way that she behaves, the way that she is doing her life has that effect on you. So what I mean is she's not targeting you to make you feel insecure and make you feel bad and whatever. But it is how you process that time that you two spend together. And I'm telling you, if you spend a week without her, you just go on vacation. You know, I don't even mean go on vacation. I just mean during spring break, I bet your mental health is 10 times better than it is when you're doing whatever this is for 5 days. Stop having meals with her. Be busy. You can still be in this group of 10 friends and have fun nights out and do whatever you want to do. But you are living your life in comparison to this person at the moment.
And by the way, when you graduate, you'll have nothing to do with her again. Just naturally, you won't.
Right.
I mean, she'll fall off.
She's just doing her college experience the way she's doing it. You don't have to compare yours to whatever that is. You need to find a way to feel comfortable, to get your self-esteem up a little bit, to understand that just because, you know, look, you're a tall, bigger person. You said that genetically, meaning you take up more space in the room. That's who you are. Okay. And there are people that are, this is one of the misconceptions, I think, when you're a young woman, is that you think everybody wants to go out with somebody who's 5'3½" and 106 pounds. And that's really not the way it is. Whether or not that's what society tells us is the norms, there is a lid for every pot. And there are men and women and whatever you're interested in who love people that look just like you. And you just have to find those people, or you have to let them in. But when you put on that force field of saying, I already know I'm unattractive, then there's no way for other people to find you attractive because you're not relaxed in your own skin. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're gorgeous, I'm sure. Hormonal acne, let's deal with that. Okay? Seriously. Let's go to health services now. Let's have a conversation with whoever the dermatologist is and say, this is driving me crazy. I want to clear up my skin. Do you have any ideas? You are in the college is the best place for basically free health care.
Because it's easy access. Yeah, that's true.
And the university usually is a pretty good hospital and good doctors.
They're dealing with this acne all the time.
But it's totally something that's manageable. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's something in your diet, or it's, you know, these are things that can be dealt with. It's not just because you're 21. You don't have to, your skin, you can deal with. It'll take a little time. You'll feel great. Your confidence will shift. But stop comparing yourself to other people. I know that's such an easy thing to say, but that is
a lifelong struggle.
Yeah,
but
that is your mission here.
But you can shave it off for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I was a little hard on her, maybe.
She needed to hear it.
Yeah.
She wrote in.
She wrote in, Bridger.
Look, you write in, you're going to get what you're given.
So stop giving me a hard time.
That's right. That's right. I don't think she will run. I think she's really going to appreciate the advice. Sounds like she hangs on every word you say.
And the last thing you said is so true, Brian. This is a lifelong issue. Everyone feels this way.
Yeah.
To some extent, you know, the needle is 2%, 100%.
Right.
She's at about 89% right now.
Yeah.
You got to get that needle down. But start working on that now because this is the battle in life. How do I live my best life instead of wondering about what everyone else is doing all the time? And college is a cesspool. It just is. There's all this pressure that it's the greatest time of your life and this and that. Enjoy your freedoms. Enjoy whatever you're studying. Enjoy the good times. But I don't think there's such a thing as a college student that isn't depressed. Just
I'm
say
with you.
It.
Totally I'm agree.
Bridgie had a nervous breakdown when he was your age. And look at him now. He's
I
interviewing
wasn't even
Emma
in
Thompson.
Sorority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, give me a break.
No, you were just in the world's largest fraternity.
That's very true.
Dear Ron and Brian and first class guest. That's you, Bridger.
No kidding, Bridger.
God
for
bless.
Sure.
I first must express just how much I appreciate all that you have given to your fans over the past year. Two engaging podcasts per week, CHIP here. Two spectacular live broadcasts and the only coffee I'll ever drink for the rest of my life.
AskRonnaCoffee.com.
What? Me. What coffee are we talking about here?
Now, Ask Ronna. Bridger, are you on caffeine or no?
Oh, I'm drinking. We're like 5:15 in the afternoon and I'm still drinking cold brew. So
something's
wrong with my caffeine.
You are such a rebel. What a rebel. Now, do you make your own coffee with whole bean or ground beans when you make it?
With ground that I have shipped to me. I need to get a coffee grinder.
Shipped from where?
Craft coffee.
Okay, don't answer that question. Because after you taste our coffee, you're never going to have
you
a chip.
We're
going to
send you some coffee.
We have
you
our own coffee.
Or I'm
it's
be
so
furious.
Incredible, you can't believe it. The Carriage House blend, which I describe as like an elevated Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh,
and then
that's all I need.
Shades of vanilla, which you think is a vanilla coffee.
It's not a flavored coffee. It's an infused coffee.
Oh, it's classy.
A gorgeous coffee that smells like vanilla and tastes like heaven.
And it's all fair trade. Someone asked me again whether
coffee.
Or not it was fair trade. Yes, it is.
Well, someone accused us of not being fair trade on the
comments. They've accused
us
a couple times. But then just read about it.
It is fair trade.
It's 1,000% fair trade.
Yeah. They said they're not even selling fair trade coffee. Well, you know what? You're not even a real fan because we've addressed that on the podcast before.
Yeah.
I also love watching along with your quiff selections and reading your book club picks. Bought myself the Dash egg cooker, take a note, Megan, and
two mentions.
Stuffed many stockings with impeccable items from the rare tea seller. Needless to say, your advice is always spot on, and you have given so many suggestions to others that I have applied to my own life. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do. Here's where I need help.
Okay.
I have been enjoying playing Rear Window from my apartment during the pandemic.
Oh.
Lucky you. Yeah. You live in an apartment with a rear window. My husband and I have developed nicknames and narratives for most of the people on our block. Another habit I have picked up during the pandemic is religiously watching The Bachelor / Bachelorette every week.
Wow.
This is mostly so that I can listen to Adin Mirren's podcast recapping each episode.
She's the best.
Dear friend of the Carrot Show's, Adin.
Wonderful person.
But I also admit that I enjoy getting lost in the drama of it all. A few weeks ago, I noticed that while I was watching The Bachelor, the TV in the apartment across the street was playing it too. I have now observed that we both watch it as it is every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Is there any socially acceptable way for me to divulge what I've seen in order to form a friendship with this woman / couple? Yes, I know a woman lives there with her husband and that they have twin toddlers. I can't help but have a fantasy of us hanging out this summer, fully vaccinated, drinking Negronis, and watching The Bachelorette together.
Oh, God.
Is this at all possible, or has the social isolation finally made me crack? Help! Sincerely, Appointment TV in Astoria, New York.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't think you approach this woman about Bachelor until she's killed her husband. Then you say,
correct.
Then you can reveal. I know you've been watching Bachelor, and
now we're talking. We got to have something on her.
Right, right. Hey, look, if you want a friend who watches The Bachelor, walk out on the street and throw a coin in the air. You're going to find somebody. It's the most popular show on TV, isn't it? She's not watching. She's not over there watching. I can't even think of a niche TV. Frontline.
Right.
Excellent example.
As Ron
always
says.
She's watching basically the Super Bowl every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This person's not unique.
Yeah, that's so true.
I think she wants to touch the toddlers. She wants to pet them.
What?
Like puppies. She wants to meet this twin toddlers in there. She wants to get in there.
Well, I wonder if this woman has seen this other woman's face, because there's too much coincidence, and this could be her long lost identical twin, the evil one.
Oh.
So I would make sure you get a clear look. Mm-hmm. Look, lady. You can't.
Brian, just tell her.
You can't bring it up.
No.
Someone who lives, by the way, in
New York City
does not want to know someone who lives at their apartment building. They're not interested in meeting someone and having a friend who lives in the same building. That's why they moved to New York to begin with. That's why they're there.
Creepy crawly. What are you going to do? Leave a note in a mailbox that can see into your house?
And you're going to walk up to this woman. You're going to walk up and say, hey, I know you watch The Bachelor. And she's going to say, yeah, no shit. So does everybody else in this building.
Right.
Well, tell me something I don't know.
It's the only 2 hours I have to myself. I have twin toddlers, in case you haven't noticed. I put them to bed at 7:15 on Monday night so that I can have 2 hours from 8 to 10 to watch The Bachelor and drink wine with nobody bothering me.
I say,
and I would go in the mirror and I would slap yourself in the face.
I can see into your apartment, and I noticed we're living the same life. What do you say we live it together? No.
Invent your own twins and say, I know you have twins. I have twins too. And then you keep stringing them along until the point that they ask to meet your twins. At that point, you strike. You kill.
And then
you take over her life.
Guess who you watch The Bachelor with? You watch it with Adin, okay, dear?
Correct.
That's what the point of the podcast is. Adin is your friend for watch-alongs. That's who your friend is.
By the way, what if you do that? What if, say, in a world you do approach this person and you set up a date to watch The Bachelor? There's no guarantee you're going to like this person. And then guess what? You're stuck living near someone or in the same building, potentially, of someone you don't even like.
You're also about to deprive yourself of your favorite show. Your favorite show is The Building. Watching everybody's lives in the building.
Oh, sure. Uninterrupted.
And as soon as you break the fourth wall and tell them that you've been watching them, you'll never be able to do it again. You'll be skulking around away from your window, worried that people know you're looking at them.
And by the way, this woman will be fully creeped out. And all of a sudden, she's going to be like, I think we need to move. There's someone who's been looking in the window.
And I have small children. I don't feel safe.
Exactly.
There is no appropriate way to approach that.
Yeah. Like,
erase it from your brain.
Move on.
Now I'm saying that. I'm saying go for it. Listen, wait. Hunt this woman down.
Yeah.
And yes. Just go for it.
Build a case.
Propose to her, for Christ's sake. Just go for it.
Get in there.
Yeah. You could.
Yeah, please, Ronna.
You could try and talk to her at the mailboxes.
I was going to say, there's something like you could say like, oh my God, I'm so excited for The Bachelor tonight. Be like, oh, sorry, did I say that out loud? You do like one of those.
But then I feel like you do build a relationship built on a lie, and then eventually it comes out, and then it destroys the relationship.
Well, she has no problem with that. She's looking for drama. That's what she said. She loves the drama of it all. She wants some little drama.
Well, everyone loves drama until it's in their own house.
True.
The story you're making up in your head about her is so much more interesting than the real life story.
I know. What if
it's very boring.
What if she has a terrible speaking voice?
Right. Yeah, if she's like, why don't you come in and come or whatever.
My God.
Again, go for it.
Exactly. Sorry, Ronna.
Come on in. Arr!
Yeah, exactly. It's just a pirate voice.
Yeah. All right. This is our last question, Bridget.
Last question. Yeah. Dear Ronna, Brian, and most eminent guest.
Okay.
My husband baked a few dozen hamantaschen and spent quite a lot of this Friday, Purim, dropping them off at the houses of a lot of other young and attractive Jewish men. Hmm. It took an awful long time for him to make all those deliveries, which
Lucky
made me wonder
him.
What he was up to. Since Friday, his phone has been buzzing nonstop with text messages from some of these nice Jewish boys. From the way he's acting, at least one or two of these recipients may have gotten more than just a taste of his hamantaschen.
Hmm.
And from the way he's glued to his phone, it seems like they want seconds. We've been married for 7 years. You gave us great advice back when we were planning the reception. Thank you. And after a year of being stuck together in quarantine, I'm worried he has an itch. Should I surreptitiously read the text messages to confirm or deny my fears? Should I reach out to these hamantaschen hounds and tell them to keep their paws off my mensch? Or will that only make me seem like the territorial spouse? Do I invite them over to our backyard fire pit, have a bit of safe, supervised interaction, something along the lines of keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer? Or will that only make the itching worse? Thank you, Ron and Brian, for spreading your light. Thank you, guest, for gracing us with your presence. Yours truly, David.
David.
So do you boys know what a hamantaschen is?
Isn't it like the triangle?
The little triangle with the jam?
Yes, that's right.
They look delicious. Yep. I've never had one.
I don't think I have either, but they look delicious. Yeah,
it's just a sugar cookie with jam in the middle. I mean, it's like
like
a Linzer cookie. But yeah, delicious. But supposedly the shape of Haman's hat, which was the mean guy that tried to take down the Jews in, Persia a million years ago.
Was he the one that Esther, wised up to? Or snuck
that she tattled on him and then he was hung? That's correct.
Yes.
And whenever you say his name, you're supposed to make a noise. If you hear his name, you're supposed to, they have these things called gragas that you move around on, like the vuvuzelas. From the World Cup, but much smaller. So if anyone says Haman, you go, boo, you have to say boo, or you have to, Anyway, hamantaschen,
the cookies.
And there's also an alternative narrative, though, that they are really more about fertility, and that they're actually in the shape of the female body part.
They look more like that than a hat.
There's always a fertility angle with the Bible. Yeah.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Happy Purim, Ronna.
Thank you so much, dear. It was last week. Yeah.
I know, but belated, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't have the patience to deal with you and your Hamburglar outfit again.
I was going to ask if you dressed up for
Purim. Purim is like, Jewish Halloween. No, I didn't have any Purim plans this year.
Okay.
Usually after the age of about 8, your Purim plans start to dry up. But,
That's not right.
Bridget, what are we going to do here?
Look, his name's David. Is that the name we're
David doing? Is, yes.
David,
and his husband is passing around hamantaschen.
Yeah.
David's husband has been delivering cookies and sleeping with who knows how many men. This is what I have to say. Okay, the holiday is beyond us. Those sugar cookies can no longer be made. But we've got St. Patrick's Day coming up, which you make a shamrock-shaped sugar cookie. You've got a perfect example to deliver to these attractive young men. To me, this is an opportunity for sex. If husband's getting it just with the cookie delivery, it's now your turn.
You do your own holiday.
Why not? We've got plenty of spring holidays you can choose from. I mean, obviously, Easter's not quite up your alley, but decorating an egg-shaped cookie is a lot of fun. Do a few of those.
Right. I would say
delivering a cream egg and someone has to lick the center out of it.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of erotic cookie options that you can get into here and just get back at the husband right away. I don't see the problem.
I don't either. COVID is not happening anymore. I mean, this seems like the right time to really slut it up around town.
I mean, let's be honest. This husband has gone out and exposed himself to all sorts of COVID. So now it's your turn. This is a classic private investigator move. Yeah. You just bake the cookies, go to all of the same houses, and just see where it leads.
This is all very Kathy Baker and Edward Scissorhands, like coming over to drop off a pastry.
Ambrosia salad.
Ambrosia salad.
I will bring the ambrosia salad.
This is what this guy's doing with his hamantaschen, is he's just wearing a low cup top.
And some stretch pants.
And he's just
going
over there being like, thought y'all could use some hamantaschen.
I want to know where he got this list of young, attractive Jewish men that he's dropping cookies off.
It can't be just a...
That's my first question, is where the mailing list came from for the young, attractive Jewish men for the hamantaschen.
Yeah.
It puts us in a bit of a pickle because someone wrote to us once over Christmas and said, I make all these gorgeous cookies and I don't get enough compliments on my cookies. And so what do I do? Do I take people off the list for next year? Or do I say to them, you should have complimented me? What do I do?
Was this person saying Maria?
No, it's not Maria.
Okay, interesting.
This person just makes these cookies supposedly out of the kindness of their heart. But really what's going on is they want people to compliment their gorgeous cookies. So for him to be getting the text messages back, we can only describe that as proper etiquette for my young Jewish man.
Great deduction.
So we have to suggest they have to thank him for the cookies. Who would they be if they didn't thank him for the hamantaschen?
Right. Yep. Well, and you've
and probably
got that
they're saying, like, my sister just tried one. She loved it, or who knows, you know?
Send me the recipe. I've got to have your recipe.
Or they're saying, what flavor was my filling?
Did you make this jam yourself?
Yes. Is this your jam? That
but, Rana,
kind of
I do see where you're going with this.
Yeah, dirty cookies, you know?
I do see where you're going with this, because, Bridger, what Rana's not telling you, she's not finishing the most crucial part of the story. And that's that the person who made these delicious cookies sent us these delicious cookies. And
You're
we
kidding.
Decided whether or not they deserved such praise. So I'm thinking, send us the hamantaschen. And if it gets us a little brandy.
But he has to get the husband to make them.
Correct. Right. And then we'll tell you, oh, no, this was purely platonic. Or I tasted them.
Yeah.
You should be worried.
These are horny hamantaschen.
Right. If they're horrible, then the affair is certain. If they're good, less certain.
What is your arrangement with your husband? Do you have an open relationship? In normal non-pandemic times, is he allowed to have a little fun? You're allowed to have a little fun? And no, and we just don't, we have a don't ask, don't tell policy? I mean, this is the question. What is your arrangement with your husband? Because this is a fun, cute letter that you've sent us, but does it really bother you? I mean, is it really an issue?
I honestly thought you were asking Bridger.
Oh, God, no.
I truly did. I was like,
I worried about halfway incredible. Through. I thought maybe you thought I was asking Bridger.
I was. I was like, oh, my God.
That would be such a turn.
I know. Yes, I know what you mean, though, Rana. Does this, what is the deal? Because
does this
honestly,
violate
this sounds
the
like,
terms of the arrangement?
And
can you get
like
one
making,
of these cute little Jewish boys to come over and hang out with the both of you? I mean, what's the.
Right. It sounds like somebody just is angling for a sex party.
Yeah.
They're just. Can
Should
we bring
I invite
them, all
them
over
and pour cold water on everything? No, don't ruin everyone's fun.
Yeah.
It's the pandemic.
If I had a crush on someone and just really wanted to hook up with them, I don't think I would bring like a baked good.
No.
I just don't know that that would be my MO. I do think it's curious that your husband happens to know a lot of really good looking Jewish men who, by the way, you also know are good looking. So you must know who they are. So it's probably not that weird.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything here. I think it's COVID and you're bored. I don't think there's anything here.
Well, he's
here.
For sure bored, so he's flirting a little bit. But
yeah, maybe he's flirting.
If you feel this is approaching the line where he is violated, well, you can look. Everyone knows when somebody gets a text from someone, the look of glee on their face. Okay.
That's true.
I can only assume.
It's not just the phone that lights up.
No one can ever suppress that. You think they can, but they can't. And he looked over and this guy was enjoying these texts a little too much. So if it's approaching the boundary of whatever you've determined for the relationship and you really are upset about it, then you should discuss it.
Yeah.
But if you don't care that he's having a little flirt and, you know, everybody's getting COVID tested or whatever they're doing, which I think is absolutely outrageous and foul and everything else, but that's not the question you asked me. You know, if it's hurting your feelings and it's something real that you're worried about, then you should discuss it. But if it's a little flirtation, this, that, and it's within the bounds of the relationship, what can we do?
Yeah. I mean, if your husband's cookie delivery drives you into a fit of jealousy, I think there's something deeper going on here.
Yeah. I do. And I think, by the way,
I do think you should do a Shamrock Shake delivery service of your own, though. That's fun.
I do, too. And don't tell them what's in the shake.
Oh, there you go.
And by the way, Rana, I was also going to say, I don't think it's out of bounds if your husband lights up because he got a text message and he's responding. If you were like, oh, who are you texting with? I don't think that's weird. Is it?
Not if you're doing it all the time, sure.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. You're right.
It's a crush.
Occasionally you can say, oh, who are you texting?
Yeah.
But if it's every time, that's headed into some controlling territory. Right. Yeah.
Figure out the boundaries of the relationship and figure out if people are violating the terms of service here or not. What's going on?
But, or make a little Hamantaschen bra and do like an American Beauty. And when he comes home.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I do have to ask you two, the last batch of cookies that were sent to you, what was the verdict? Were they good?
I actually never tasted them, but they looked like something you would absolutely thank someone for. They were gorgeous.
They were absolutely
stunning.
Our only question was, were people not thanking you because they thought you stopped at a bakery because they were so professional?
That's what they looked like.
Oh,
and so gorgeous. Okay. And they thought, oh, he just picked up some cookies and dropped them at our door.
Right.
But we learned that no, everybody knew where they came from and they were gorgeous, delectable Christmas cookies.
They really were beautiful.
Yeah. Anyone that didn't thank them deserved to be totally expunged from the list. That was just the story.
Yep.
Okay. Brian, happens now?
Okay. So we're at the end of the episode, Bridger. And what happens now is we give a little gift that we send in the mail to one of the people who wrote in.
Oh, fantastic.
Who we think deserves it. It's just a feeling, as Rana likes to say. There's no criteria. It's just, who do you think deserves this gift? So I will do a quick recap of who we've got. So
well,
first
what should
of all,
the gift be this week? Because
I mean, it sounds like people want the...
Well, one of them already has
only
the
one of them
cocoa. One of them's
begging
for it.
Oh, she has it. Okay. Correct.
Yeah. And the other one, so we can't give her that because she's begging for it.
Okay.
I mean... Even though, well, let's see who Bridger picks, then we'll decide.
Okay. Yeah. So, Bridger, are we going to send a gift to the sorority sister?
Right, that's Megan.
Megan. Are we going to send the gift to the bachelor watching nosy neighbor rear window?
Right.
Or are
Gladys
we giving it
Kravitz.
To, I'm jealous, my husband might be cheating on me with baked goods.
Okay. And do we know what the gift is?
Well, I think we should
Rana,
decide.
Do you have any ideas?
I think we should decide who we think needs it, and then we'll tailor the gift.
Okay. You know, I think.
I know it's hard. I know you're going to give it to her anyway.
I am too.
She's got to have it.
I know. I agree.
I hate beggars.
You are rewarding
I
bad
hate
behavior.
A dog begging at the table.
Of course.
Yeah.
If the dog didn't beg at the table, I'd bring him a T-bone steak every night. But then if he comes and sits next to me, I think, you little schmuck, I'm not giving you anything.
Because you're right. I want everyone to know this does not start a trend. Something that becomes.
No, don't
start. Ruin the podcast.
Yes. The whole system crumbles if people can pander and beg and get something.
Yep.
On the other hand, she's 21.
Yeah.
This is all that is junior high school round two. Pat duh, as they say.
Yep.
Living in a sorority. All these people are driving her crazy. And also, if we give her the egg cooker, Maybe she could have a few less meals with Maria because she can say, oh, I already had breakfast in my room.
It's basically a hot plate. You can fully set it up in your room.
She can make her eggs in her room for breakfast so she can at least skip breakfast with Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think she's the one.
You know, this goes against every fiber
really
of my
Rana
being,
does
Brian.
Not like these kinds of arrangements. No. She really doesn't.
I really don't.
She doesn't. She doesn't like people asking for something and then expecting it to be given to
them. I'm into purity and authenticity. I'm not I'm not into these backdoor deals.
Who would you have chosen for the gift? Well, the person who was going to spy on a bachelor watcher?
of this pack, it's undoubtedly Megan.
Yeah.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Right. And also, I mean, look, I also want to acknowledge that this is, and we've said it, but it's a had time in life. And you think everyone's having a wonderful time. This goes for all times in life, basically. And they're not. There's a couple of times in life where you feel like you're up. But unless you're totally vapid and vacuous, most of the time, most people feel like they're sort of to the middle or down. And they're just trying to get to the middle, to be content and to be spending your time doing the things that you love and with the people that you love. And that's all there really is to the whole game of it all, meaning life.
That's right.
So maybe I'm wrong, Bridger, about that. And then beautiful hotels, of course.
I think you basically get to go on one great vacation in your 30s, and then the rest of it's fine or horrible.
There we go. That's
says
a great
the guy that's best friends with Emma Thompson. Okay?
That's right.
So take
Bridger
that in
Weiniger.
Stride. Yeah. Yeah, not Maria.
Bridger Weiniger.
He's not friends with Maria. He's friends with Emma Thompson.
I will never be friends with Maria.
Way. And he still feels that way.
Bridget
Dump
Weiniger.
Maria.
Are you Bridget Weiniger everywhere? Is that your handle for social
media? Yeah, let's see.
Systems?
Yeah, Bridger W, or I Said No Gifts on Instagram.
And please listen to I Said No Gifts.
Oh, it's so terrific.
And it's like a real novel show.
It's a unique show with a unique point of view. You're a terrific interviewer. I love your voice. I love listening to your voice.
God bless.
Through my ears. People talk about ASMR. You have a wonderful demeanor and terrific cadence. And I love listening to your voice. And what day does it come out? Don't say Tuesday.
Thursday. So we're not competing.
Then that's okay.
I hate podcasts.
We've got Must Hear Tuesdays, Must Hear Thursdays.
Because otherwise we just would have released my interview questions at the beginning, but none of the rest of the episode.
You could just cut out all of my audio and then just have those long silences.
Perfect. That's right.
Okay.
So it comes out on Thursdays. Now we do one more thing here, and you can either listen to this or not listen to this. We do our cliffhanger. And we just read the cliffhanger. Well, this I think you do want to hear, actually, because I happen to know what this cliffhanger is. We read it here, then we answer it on Patreon, on patreon.com/askrana. So I'm going to read this very brief, very quickly, and then you can go back to your fabulous life. How does that sound?
Beautiful.
Dear Rana Bryant, an esteemed guest, I'm a 39-year-old New Yorker, but I've been extremely fortunate to have been able to ride out most of this pandemic year in beautiful Monterey Bay with my wife. Fabulous.
Wow. Not bad.
Unless you're trying to get to Big Sur. No, you can get to Big Sur from Monterey Bay, but the highway's close. South of that, the highway's
going up.
Caved-in highway.
Yeah. A chunk of the highway. That's a real confidence shaker, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Certainly.
I mean, we all love Big Sur, but then just a chunk of the highway is going to just fall into the...
doesn't bode well.
Yeah. That's Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
While this lovely and secluded location has somewhat alleviated the stress that we've all been feeling lately, I have had a reignited battle with past depressions that have put some strain on my relationship with others. Case in point, this guy's 39. He has a fabulous wife. He's living in Monterey Bay. He's obviously doing pretty well. And he's still depressed. This is life, dear Megan, okay? So we learn to cope with it as early as we can. My wife and I have a wonderful marriage, but I sometimes need to get out of my headspace in order to relax. So physical intimacy hasn't been as spontaneous or carefree as it once was, at least during my waking hours.
Okay.
My wife has informed me that routinely... For the last few months, I have been getting extremely handsy in my sleep, to say the least. This ranges from light groping, squeezing, and stroking to occasional oral exploration And even a few times, I have attempted and succeeded at full intercourse, all while asleep. I've had no previous issues with sleepwalking or other nocturnal activities. And while I don't vividly remember every dream that I have, I don't think that they have been considerably more sexual of late. I typically have no memory of what I'm doing during the night until my wife tells me in the morning. Only a few nights ago, I woke up to the sensation of her shaking me and asking, "Are you awake?" And when I came to, I discovered that I was lying on top of her. My concerns of overall consent aside, my wife says that she's been enjoying the extra attention and finds this all rather hilarious. I, on the other hand, do not. It's been difficult for me to accept that numerous mental hurdles are preventing me from enjoying regular sex when I'm present, only for it to come so naturally when I'm unconscious. We've tried a few methods to quell this activity, including engaging in various sexual acts just before sleep to get it out of my system. But most of the time, I've been told after the fact that my sleeping body would be hungry for more a few hours later. Should I consider sleeping separately from my wife in order to ensure we both can sleep through the nights without these interruptions? Or should I embrace my dreamlike sexual prowess as a new form of intimacy that at the very least my wife seems to enjoy? Any thoughts on the matter would be most welcome. Thank you for all that you do from the confines of the Carriage House. I look forward to mornings when my shades of vanilla will be all the sweeter for having got through a night with a little less guilt over what I might have done. J.P.
Mm.
Wow, wow. That is a good cliffhanger, Rana.
What I can assure you is that we're not qualified to answer this question. What None I can also us. Assure you is that we will.
Oh, we definitely. I have strong opinions already. Yeah.
I think there are some clear answers here. Very clear answers.
Sure.
Bridger. An absolute doll. Bridger of Madison County.
Yes. The Bridger in Bridgerton. You put the Bridger in Bridgerton.
Thank you. It's time somebody said it.
Thank you for being here with us today.
Bless you too. So wonderful seeing you.
And we adore you. And you and I are going to have a little offline Salt Lake City conversation.
Of course. How could we not?
I'll be there too. I'll be there. Okay. I'll probably put it on mute, but I'll just know that I'm there.
Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.